Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, and happy Monday to everyone, and happy, Valentine's Day week as well for all the romantics out there. Hopefully they've made their reservations or plans, or they're starting to, for Friday. But it's good to be on here with you here today, Bruce.
Good to be back, and kind of the Just Us department this week, just you and I are going to talk about this and that, and our respective adventures. So I was glad to be back from Houston. Got to talk to some UFC fighters this weekend and visit with them. Interesting to go to Houston to a UFC fight. Just it's a little bit different than maybe going to a place like Vegas or a super larger venue. It was fun. The pace was a little slower, but that lent itself to more quality discussions with people and spending time with people. So that was fun to kind of get That's out awesome. There.
So you started that partnership with them, or I don't know if you qualified.
Well, trying to get some exposure into that and see what can develop, you know? So it's fun to be able to talk to the fighters and see what strategies they have. It's kind of like, what we do with coaching, you know? My son was doing a virtual coaching session with this one fighter, asking him about his pathway to the belt and to the championship and what he would do and strategies and stuff like that. It was really interesting. A lot of the fighters really, I don't know, it doesn't sound, I don't know, they train a lot, but some of them, they just go to the next thing, you know what I mean? Just the next fight, the next win, and I get it. They kind of leave some of the larger goals to their handlers, you know? But it's kind of fun to talk, have that discussion with several different folks and get their take on things and see the differences between the fighters.
Yep. What was like one of the standout discussion points or tactics that, you know, one of them shared with you over the weekend?
One of them was like, you know, like, okay, now what fight number is this? And like, hey, it's 247. Oh yeah. Right. And, you know, a person has like a million people on their Instagram and they didn't even know where they were, man. I mean, like, it was amazing. Yeah, like, what is this? Like, it's 247. And so I don't know if that's just from just living an active lifestyle or taking too many hits. I'm not sure, but we're here to fight, man. We're going to talk about your fighting. Oh, okay, right. So anyway, that was the standout on one end, and then there was one guy who had a pretty intellectual view of where he needed to go and what he needed to do. He's kind of off to the side right now, you know, took some L's and he's got a long way back. So he's kind of in that weight class with Cowboy Cerrone and Connor. And you know, that weight class is just jammed with talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one of the more power packed.
Yeah, you got 20 or 30 people, good people to go through before you're even, you know, close to a Conor McGregor or something like that. So obviously this fellow's had a lot of time to really think about his path moving forward.
That's cool. That's cool, though. I mean, when you talk to athletes like that, you know, they're in the sport. They're in that, not the trenches, but so to speak, but they're right in that groove of, hey, you know, week in and week out, training, getting ready for the next fight. I really appreciate the journey that they're all on, and I'm sure there's a lot that can be learned both ways, you know, from us to them and, you know, from them to us. So that was probably a really cool experience. How many people did you end up meeting with while you were out there? Around me, I guess, fighters, technically.
About 8 to 10, but also really got to talk also to some of the UFC staffers, you know, staffers that provide, you know, certain types of experiences to clients, you know.
Yep.
And one's kind of a front end of the house that deals with clients and customers and those issues in there. And there's kind of this back end of the house person that I got to interact with that does all the food and catering and more kind of an operations person. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was kind of cool because I'd known the front end human person, if you will. But the other end person was kind of doubling for her and said, no, you know, in her absence, you know, talk to me about anything you need and this and that and the other, and we'll get it done for you. And so I thought that was kind of cool. So
that is cool. So it's more of the staff too. You know, they each have their role and part that they're playing for the overall team. That's kind of like the NASCAR teams and all that are representing their drivers.
Right.
That's neat.
That's right. Like a fighter would be its own driver. And, you know, UFC is like the NASCAR Central. But, boy, it just seems like it's quaint. So it's pretty interesting if you're a fighter of a certain caliber and let's say you're watching the fight. Like you have to have an escort go with you. Even to the bathroom.
Why is that? Because they're afraid of them getting jumped or something?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, some of those bathrooms were even they're in the tunnel, you know, where the players come out and if you go, fires come out. So it's kind of interesting, like, people are raising their hand, having to go to the bathroom. they didn't raise their hand necessarily, but they go to an area and a dude with a black suit have to pick them up, you know, and then take them to the bathroom, even if they had their mom or girlfriend or wife or whatever. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's different. I didn't you know, I wouldn't expect that because you'd think, you know, as a fighter they could probably protect themselves.
Yeah,
but
they can.
I think there's another element of it too, maybe just the being vulnerable, because if they're by themselves, you never know if people are packing weapon or some shit.
Everybody's right, that or you know, you end up, let's say they're, oh man, Justin Nimmergood is here, and some drunk guy comes up to you, and you kind of handle up on him, not too bad. He breaks his nose. They sue you. You know, I'm going to sue Justin Nimmergood. He's like, dude, you're coming at me. You know, I'm sure they just do that for all kinds of other protections and whatnot. But I thought that was pretty interesting. So,
well, what was the most interesting or unexpected business? I'm sure it was mostly about, you know, the athleticism of the sport and whatnot, but in mindset training and whatnot. But I was going to say, of the business operation, what was like the most interesting insight you gleaned about the business operation piece of it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, on the coaching side is that there's really a reluctance. Unless the person already brings in like a coach with them, you know what I mean? Like some of these, like boxing trainers, right? That trainer, the head trainer, you know, really kind of steps in and is doing training as well as, you know, life, you know, supposedly life coaching and whatever else kind of stuff too, you know? So I noticed that a little bit more on this side, how the trainers really try to, I don't want to say power grab or whatever, but you know, they're that lead trainer's trying to do it all. And I get it, because they want to command the focus of the fighter. They want to make sure the fighter is doing what they need to do. And I understand that, right? They're the captain of the ship, but sounds like, you know, some of them need to outsource some of the other functions maybe better than others. So,
right. Yeah. It's the old, what did I learned in business years ago is like, if you, well, first of all, in terms of allocation, you know, you either do it now, like, you know, if you have an action item, right? Like, either do it now, you know, you set it aside to do it, you know, for later, or you outsource it. Right. And, you know, if it's not a core competency, then people are honestly most of the time best served outsourcing it, right? Even if it costs a little something for them to do that. I mean, I think about, for example, what we're doing within the company. I'm outsourcing definitely more functions than I did, you know, probably three to 5 years ago, right? It's funny though, because when you talk, and when I, you know, work with some small businesses from time to time, you know, the continual theme, and it sounds like it's the same, you know, even in UFC or probably pretty much any industry or any sport or whatnot, you know, you have the old owner's, you know, dilemma, owner problem, or general manager problem, where they try to do everything for everyone. They try to, you know, wear all the hats and all that. And it's like, you can't successfully anyway, right? Maybe when you're starting out, it's good, but eventually you got to hit a tipping point where it's like, all right, I, you know, this isn't a core competency or focus. It's not going to help build and, you know, drive growth. And in the case of a UFC, it's not going to help this athlete, you know, get to the next level. So this function should be done by this person, right? So I see athletes like Tom Brady, who, you know, is obviously a huge Cowboys fan. So part of the reluctance, you know, Tom Brady, because he keeps winning Super Bowls and the Cowboys can barely make the playoffs. But you see someone like him, and yeah, you know, he's got a trainer for, I don't know, he's got like a chiropractor, he's got a, you know, and obviously he's making the money to afford it, but it's also because he's also made the commitment to those aspects of his life. So I really appreciate that approach, actually.
Yes, everybody is, you know, everybody's just a little bit different, has different needs and has different strengths and weaknesses. And so it's, it's just trying to figure out, you know, there's so many different directions you can go with each person, and trying to figure out, you know, is there a central need across fighters that isn't being addressed, you know? And then next week, I'll be going to Houston for the great Southwestern Winter Series, and kind of switching gears and looking at Hunter Jumper, you know, riding. Oh, cool. and that thing. So that equestrian. And I talked about that before on the show, you know, some of the central themes there. You know what I mean? I think those riders have certain things that they fear.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems more cut and dry for them than it does necessarily a UFC fighter. But
I think there's more danger, right, in the sport. There's more, probably more, pitfalls. There's just more going on. I mean, not to say that riders of horses can't get hurt or whatnot, but I think it's probably a narrower focus. There's probably more things to master or at least consider, you know, in training to be a UFC fighter, right? Than training to be a jockey. Because I know you.
Well, it's not jockey. I mean, these are yeah, they're taking these complex jumps and you know, it's really interesting because anyway, we can talk about another time. But the horse, you know, the some of these horses can. I'm not saying it's not an adversarial relationship either way, but I know that from time to time, horses will get a mind of their own, and I don't yeah, I don't want to say ride off with the rider, but you know what I mean? If that rider doesn't have what's going on to keep that horse where they need to be. I learned an important lesson, actually. We're going to talk about horses later, right? But if you're lower in the saddle and you have longer legs to get around, like some of the male riders will have more control, seemingly, than female riders in a similar type of a jump because their legs are longer. You know what I mean? And that makes a big difference to a horse, I think. So maybe not. I don't know. But
I would imagine the where the stirrup, I think they're called the stirrups, right? The stirrups sit on the chest or, you know, stomach of the horse, you know, the probably the further down, you know, probably is a different pressure point for the horses, you know, than higher up on that part of their body, you know, and that's, I don't know, I guess they just respond differently to it. It's interesting though. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
So,
yeah, that's cool, man. Well, so, you had a pretty eventful weekend then, it sounds like, you know, that's awesome. Continuing the prowess with the UFC.
Yeah, were you out and about with the catering folks, or was that now several weeks ago?
That was no, I have been. You know, some of this content has been snapped at different points in time. So,
okay. I didn't know if that was okay.
But yeah, I've been continuing the prowess with them. You know, honestly, the last week or so has just been so. You know, on a personal front, we moved, and it was quite the process to do that. By the way, you know, moving at any juncture is never fun. It's a process, you know, and it's an emotional process too. You get attached to your home, and there's all these belongings that you're transferring. I don't even want to get into the mechanics of like the energy that, you know, things hold or bad or good, right? And that you're going through a lot at a very rapid pace. And in our case, we had a kind of a issue with our pet that required us to actually end up finding a different place than we had put a deposit down on. Long story short, we ended up in a great spot. This weekend, we had a little early celebration for my birthday, which is coming up this week here. So yeah, I'm 34 young this week. So, yeah, it's just interesting to reflect though on these things. So, yeah, good times though. You know, it's interesting though, cause like last week in particular, you know, I came across a couple of different scenarios similar to what different, but similar to what you're talking about where, you know, just the dedication or mindset of the training of, you're talking about UFC fighters. Well, I deal with that on a daily basis with, you know, the business owners that I'm, you know, working with or, you know, coaching for that matter. And it's a lot of, hey, you know, trying to, hey, we're going to do it this way or we're going to do it that way. And I tell you what, it's the ones who actually say, hey, I hired you or I believe in you for a reason. You know, that's, we all have to get out of our own way, right? You know, I'm not the best at everything, admittedly, and that's why I have counsel on certain facets of my life, right? So I'm just reminded of that, and didn't hurt that old Ralphie. My father was out here. You know, it was always good to see him, and he's he's a sharp guy, sharp businessman in particular. So I always learn something from Pops when we do. It's rare, but when we do get to spend time together like that, so. So that was a fun one. Have you guys, you guys are still in, Keller or South Lake area?
Right. Yeah. That area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, did something, are you saying that you encountered something that kind of humbled you or you had to rethink some stuff or?
Well, I think we're always constantly rethinking things. You know, I think sometimes, it's more apparent at certain junctures in your life, like, and that's why I was referencing the moving. And like, it's not just about the moving. When you move, you know, you're also pruning, right? Or you're getting rid of things, not only material things, but
rose bush can grow type of
thing. Yeah, exactly. Right. You're making way for the new, right? So it's like some early spring cleaning, which in the Persian culture is they celebrate Nowruz March 20th every year, and it's a different time of the day, but the same time, so it might be like, I don't know, 5 a.m. here in California and whatever time, you know, over in Iran or elsewhere across the globe. But it's like the spring cleaning happens early in preparation for that. And that's basically the first day, I think the 21st technically is, but you know, the 20th, let's call it first day of spring, you know, to allow for the flowers, right? You think about the flowers growing and all that. So, you know, it's a metaphor, I guess, you know, in life and in business that, and it was a good reminder for me this week, you know, physically we've been actually moving. But like any good business leader, you have to make room for growth, right? And I think so often I see, and I'm guilty of this too, you know, if you don't take time to actually, you know, sit down, get your, not only your thoughts, but your business imperatives organized, you know, you're not going to allow for the room for hyper growth, right? So that was a humbling, reminder, not humbling necessarily, but it was a good reminder, right? So in the process of all this, you know, I've been doing a bit of cleaning and pruning. And by the way, that goes for relationships too. I tell you what, you know, especially for all our listeners out there, a good piece of advice, it's probably a good process to go through this every year anyway. So, you know, I know we talked in December about getting like tax imperatives and stuff like that in order and doing goal planning and setting for, you know, the future year to come. And then I think early in the year, right, is, you know, January, February timeframe is a great time to do spring cleaning, not only of your business, but elsewhere in your life, because it does transfer over, right? And make way for growth and not only, you know, business and things, but also in relationships too. You know, if you look at business deals, business partnerships that happen, they happen because of the relationships. And so, you know, taking the time at, you know, the beginning of the year, even at the end of the year to do some pre-planning, but certainly the beginning of the year to do some true spring cleaning on your life, on your relationships in your life, figure out, you know, who really serves you, right? Hmm. I used to, one of my professors at Pepperdine, Vance Caesar, amazing teacher and just leader of life. He wrote a book called The High Achiever's Guide to Happiness. So a little plug for him out there, because, you know, for me, it was that's one of the cornerstones of, you know, I would say the way I try to lead my life, right? You know, as someone who's a high achiever, or certainly on the strive for always being a high achiever, we're always somewhat unsatisfied. And part of that is good, by the way, because that's that strive to be better and grow. But it's also making sure you take the time to allow for the growth. And part of that is, you know, evaluating the landscape of your relationships, you know. So he had like an exercise in there, which I take some of my coaching clients through, which is like, hey, let's take a cross section of your relationships in your life, business, personal, and otherwise, you know, maybe the top 10 or so. And you can, it's pretty simple, right? Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low and 10 being high, how much does this person contribute or fill, we use the term fill you up, right? Like, okay. So 10 being like, I feel completely, you know, fold up from this person, versus 1 is like, they pretty much are draining to me, right? You do that. And how much you feel like you're giving versus how much you feel like you're getting, right? So it's basically two columns. You do the math. If it's a negative, that person, you axe them. you minimize their, you know, involvement in your life, or you axe them. If, you know, it's a wash, okay, you know, maybe we taper down the amount of investment with them. And if it's positive, that's someone you want to continue to invest with. So you know, I share that because that can be applied, that exercise and just that principle can really apply to pretty much anything. Not only personal relationships, you could apply that to your business partnerships or relationships too, and people within an organization, right? So, you know, just a little friendly reminder, I think, for everyone out there, you know, anticipation of spring, right? And letting your spring flowers bloom, you know, it's a perfect time right now to do some of this, right? Not only, you know, hey, clean your house, clean, as they say, clean your closet out and all that stuff, but clean, prune some of your relationships, right? You know, I'll tell you, like for us, you know, Naomi and I, you know, this whole process of physically moving has also been a great instigator, I would say, to prune the relationships and make way for the new. So just, you know, a little tidbit there for everyone out there. It's easy to get in the trap of not taking the time to do this and staying quote unquote status quo. But when you do this, it actually is going to yield much higher returns and not only happiness, but in, you know, business outcomes as well in the future.
Wow, man. I mean, you just got my curiosity going. Like it really does sound like you made some adjustments there and cleaned out some human clutter as yeah. it were, so you could grow. Like, so was it just a few people, or was it like quite a few people?
Well, I mean, to be honest, between the two of us, it's, I mean, and we're still in the process of doing it. But it's going to be quite a few people. And I think, you know, I mean, that's just the way we're approaching it. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it could go for anyone. But to be completely vulnerable, I mean, it's people that you've known for a while. I mean, to give you and I guess our listeners a bit of context, because I think it helps for the purpose of this sort of exercise and philosophy. You know, I've been out here in California now for about 10 years. So I definitely consider this, I mean, it's definitely home for me, right? Texas, I also call or say is also home because it's technically speaking the place I've lived the longest. But been out in California for 10 years. It's not like it's been a couple year like stint. Like I've lived in a, you know, a couple places across the country, you know, here, a year here, a couple years there. Those are like visits along the way, right? But like this is, you know, a place that it's home, right? And it's someone that I at least fully intend, at least for the knock on wood, for the immediate future, for as long as, you know, I foresee it to be home. And so, you know, in the course of 10 years, you probably develop relationships, or you have relationships that if you didn't take the time, you know, which I do, and I didn't wait 10 years to do this, so I don't mean it in that regard, but stuff like that can creep up on you. But in 10 years, there's a lot of clutter and white noise that has been accumulated, right? Just being completely vulnerable. And I think everyone could probably empathize with that, right? Like, not only whether you've lived in the same house or same place, or you've been in the same state, or you've been in the same relationship, or you've been in same line of business or for 10 years. I mean, shit, I think it was the CEO of, not Bezos. It wasn't Amazon. I want to say it was Zappos. That, you know, I heard a story. He was on a flight with, was it Cuban? It was one of the sharks, and this was like probably last year sometime. And he commented on how great leaders of life and of business, they take the time to do what we're talking about. They take the time to basically, he used the metaphor, get off the hamster wheel, right? Like, if you're just on the hamster wheel and you're just going, tunnel vision, you probably don't realize what the fuck is going on around you, right? So getting out of the game, you know, taking some time off, getting perspective by, you know, going and serving in a different market or industry really can widen your perspective. And well, as a result of it, you know, wind up making you more valuable when you either return or when you pivot and do something else. Right. So I think it's really important. You know, I look at myself, you know, shit, I'm a product of, had a lot of great opportunities and, you know, fortunately have, you know, had one of those, I'm one of those that's on the side that has been divorced. Right. So you have some of those things to deal with, in life and in business and otherwise. And, you know, you learn a lot about yourself though, as you start to clean out some of those relationships, especially in that case, because shit, when you do divorce with someone, whether it's divorce of a business, by the way, it could be business partners, it could be a former, you know, you were an employee of somewhere or, you know, whatnot, like that list can go on and on. It you know, light starts to be shed on, you know, who's really true, say true friends. You know, case in point, when we moved, you know, last week, I realized that it was like a good litmus test of, you know, who's in your true, like, inner circle, you know, Justin, right, that you can count on and trust, you know, that would be there for you, you know, if you needed something. And I think everyone needs to have that sort of inner, called inner ring or inner circle. Be very prescriptive, be very, yeah, prescriptive about what qualities or traits you want for people that are in your inner circle, right? And for me, I got really crystal clear on, you know, what was important to me, right? Certain character attributes, you know, honor, integrity, being trustworthy, being dependable, are just some that come to mind, you know, because I'm one of those, I have a lot of people I know, but, you know, I think we all know a lot of people, but I think especially in the society we're in right now, Bruce, it's funny, like, you know, this Instagram fucking society, you know, not that Instagram rules the world, but sometimes it feels like it does. It's like all that shit is just facade. It's not always real. Some of it's real, some of it's facade. And then when you peel back the layers of onion, who are people really at their core? Right. So it's in, you know, you have to really manage, maintain, and be, I guess, mindful of both aspects of it when you approach it from business and, you know, personal perspectives, right? Who are people maybe on the facade or hey, you know, on the business front, but like, who are they at their core too? So yeah, everything I'm kind of sharing here is yeah, it's been a kind of a personal encounter or process that I've been going through, but I think it's relevant for our listeners out there because it's a process and a technique that, you know, they could all easily do on their own, really. You know, there's not too much training that's needed for, in at least that one exercise I shared, to go through that process. And, you know, that way you clear out the noise, you can make room for more relationships, for more growth. That's ultimately the name of the game.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, you know, and like you said, being vulnerable and transparent. It sounds like you've made some choices and some cuts, so to speak. But let me ask you this. And I'm kind of getting the feeling that, like, some of the cuts you've made or the adjustments you've made still kind of hurt or sting a little bit. And I mean, if I'm not right, just call me out. But it sounds like you're still pretty, you know, in that pensive kind of zone with some of this.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, I mean, yeah, I know things, and it's, I don't know if pensive is the right word. And it's not grieving. It's not like you're grieving necessarily a death or anything, but it's, there's, because I guess I'll say, because I care so much, right? And for all you listeners out there, when you're working with a coach, you know, whether it's myself or Bruce or someone else, the thing I would advise you is find someone that fucking cares. That's what's important. And I think that has, you know, probably bitten me in the ass a couple times, is you care so much. You probably care more about other people or, you know, their businesses or whatnot than they do even. And it's like, fuck, you know, why is this not congruent, right? So, yeah, I don't know if pensive, you know, would be the correct word, but
yeah, it was a cheap shot. I was walking a chalk line between you're still thinking about it, you're not grieving the loss, but it's still whatever decision you made still stings or something. You know what I mean? That's all I was saying.
Okay. Absolutely. From that context, yeah. And that's natural. I mean, that's natural human emotion. I think for me, and like, you know, when I'm coaching people through this process too, so it's funny, like coaches have coaches too, right? So I have people, you know, in my corner exactly for situations like this, right? So I'm, you know, trying to be vulnerable with our listeners out there so they understand, like, you and I, we don't just sit on a fucking platform and preach and everything's fucking rainbows and unicorns for us. We have our own shit we have to deal with too. And life.
Well, you know, just, you know, I'll tell you, you're a better man than me, because when I make these cuts, I'm glad I made the cut. You know what I mean? And I'm not looking back most of the time. You know what I mean? It could be I'm just more psychopathic or whatever, but no, I mean, or the person was, or the situation was just such a nuisance. So, I mean, that's what I was, you know, kind of resonating, you know, I'm kind of hearing how you are right now and how I've been in some of the cuts that I've had to make, I guess you might say, in recent years. And it's like, whew, you know, and look, right when it first happens, it stings, you know, like you said, and this move sounds like this geographic move kind of was the catalyst, and it necessitated you or y'all to make these cuts. So I totally get it. And like you said, and then you're discombobulated. If you look at the Maslow hierarchy of needs, right, your food and shelter, you know, are right there, you know what I mean? Number one, and all that got disrupted with your move. Not only that, sounds like there was an issue with the pet in the mix, right? Which is right there. At the top of the list. So yeah, it's a lot to go through in one move, and it's a lot to contend with. And man, appreciate you, you know, being transparent. And you're right, you know, you got to have a coach or somebody that cares, or have people around you that care about you and care about your betterment, care about your growth and development and stuff like that. And the quiet noise or other noise or negativity is, you know, certainly, you know, it's a weight, and it can drag you down and all that. So, you know, luckily for me, you know, this year wasn't a trimming, but my Japanese web attack. I'm telling you, Justin, the phone stopped ringing. I mean, I, you know, whoo, and by the grace of God, and assembled some folks together and got back up on my feet. But you know what I mean? That was humbling, right? And I had to really make some adjustments there, and kind of like what you're doing now, take control of my life more. Take, you know what I mean? Not that the other internet situation was negative. It just turned that way, and I had lost all my control, and I had to get that control back. And seemingly thus far, it's in good hands, and you know, things are moving forward, but I'm just really having to, you know, change those key platforms that got me, seemingly got me a whole lot of business. So anyhow, okay, it's not quite the same. It's not as personal as what you're doing, but anyway,
I mean, it's similar though. I mean, like the IT situation you're talking about, it's similar. I mean, it's different, but it's similar. It's along the same vein, right? I love that you brought up the Maslow hierarchy of needs, because actually that really does get at the core of, you know, the approach to this sort of thing, right? And it's like, if you want to change your outcomes, you have to look at the whole stack of that, you know, stack of needs. And there's other facets of other people approach it, the wheel of life. You know, there's different ways you can spin it. But, you know, if you were to look at the Maslow hierarchy of needs, if your foundation is shaky, right? And in our case, I don't think our foundation necessarily, like, hey, our core character attributes. But if you want to, it's like a home renovation. If you want to have a fucking, you know, beautiful, you know, multi-million-dollar home on the beach overlooking the ocean, you have to make sure that the foundation is, you know, fucking built to last, right? And so part of that in, you know, this next phase of, I'll call it In Good Company's, you know, development, my development as a person is to, you know, was to do that, right? So go to the core of things. As you said, go to the shelter, you know, security, make massive changes in a short period of time that are going to yield massive outcome. I think that's the basis of it all. And you're right, as a result of it, there's been some, you know, to your point, vulnerability. There's been some, I know you've used different words, but yeah, you're not grieve the loss, but, you know, you say, hey, it's not second guessing yourself. I don't know how I would explain it, but it's like honoring, right? Trying to honor how people served you at different points of time. Because I've always been a proponent that I think different people are meant to come in and out of your life at different points in time, right? And they serve a purpose, and we're supposed to learn, you know, enjoy that time and ultimately learn something from that time with them, however long or short it is. Some people feel differently. You're like, hey, you know, some relationships are meant to be forever, but not all are, to be honest. Yeah. So just as I turn over new chapters and honestly cut certain, you know, ties with certain people in my life, you know, it's just honoring the time you had, you know, in NLP, or in the, I guess it's the Hawaiian culture, they do a process called Ho'oponopono, which is basically like a forgiveness and release, you know, technique to allow that energy, you know, to sort of pass through and also not harbor any negative energy moving forward, right? Which so often people do. It's like cutting bait in a way that you're not disregarding or being disrespectful to those relationships. You're actually honoring them, but allowing yourself to move forward in a graceful way. That's just my approach to it, Bruce. So I guess, yeah, we do differ a little bit probably in that regard, but still, I think, with the same intention or outcome.
Only by 43 years, son. Only by 43. I'm not that old. Wait a minute. 33 years. Excuse me. No, 23 years. Anyway, can't even do the math here. You're under 30. But anyway, yeah, but... I hear what you're saying. I was going to ask you, in the course of the move, did you have to make triage decisions about objects and possessions?
Oh, yeah. Like? Oh, yeah. I mean, shit, I could spend a whole fucking one of these episodes on just that process alone, but I won't. But, I mean, I will just share. Because, again, we look at, you know, we're the concierge coaches show, so part of our is to, you think about a concierge, like, triage coaches, right? So when you yourself are in that situation and you're making split second or, you know, what I call snap judgment decisions on things, on belongings, on, again, people, there's definitely triage situations. It really tests your limits. You know, they say diamonds, right? You know how diamonds are created, right? They're created under extreme pressure. I mean, it's carbon, basically carbon under extreme pressure. So when you push yourself to these limits, that's really how you're going to figure out what your limit is to go to that kind of almost triage. Okay, you know, getting everything done. I mean, I'll tell you, I really, looking back, I don't know how the fuck we got everything done and ready and you know, packed and moved and whatever in time that we, in the time period that we did, but we did. And all the things that go with it, right? Emotionally, you know, from a business perspective and otherwise. So yeah, the triage situation, I think, are great. You know, being a firefighter, right, is great. I actually kind of relish and love those opportunities. I don't want them all the time because I think that that then, you know, lends itself to lack of balance. You know, people need balance in order to stay sustainable. But I actually like those type of situations. It tests my limits. It tests me as a person. I actually feel like, for the most part, when I'm put in those scenarios, I perform well. I think most great leaders, great people, that's what separates kind of the winners from, you know, the losers, is what happens when all the lights are on you, when you're under extreme pressure situations. Can you perform? Can you handle it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll go through our trials and tribulations and stuff. And again, like you said, this was a growth opportunity and a growth time in your life and you and Naomi probably to together and going through obviously this together and whatnot. So no, it's like you said, these are interesting events.
Yeah.
and they can like you said, they grab your attention and you really, oh, I don't want to say forced, but you know what I mean. You're really forced to reckon with, like you said, what, you know, along the lines of that Maslow hierarchy, just like you did with that friend exercise. This person,
right,
part of that pyramid where you get love, I guess you might say, you know what I mean, the you know, agape, phileo, whatever, love from a friend, and so, you know, that's right in there in the mix, and so. Yeah, I've done the same thing, Justin, man. I really have. You know, when I left government and went into private practice, I had haters, detractors, cynics, bad skeptics, and man, I had to cut them loose, man. And
yeah,
they all died on their own sword, brother. Every damn one of them. You know what I mean? I didn't do shit but stand there and try to grow and be a better person. And if a son of a bitch tried to bring me down 1 pound, they're gone. So
that's right.
And look, you know, some of those choices were tougher than others, but at the end of the day, you know, their actions showed their true heart, and had to move on and move forward, and not hope for what could be with this person or what could be. No, it's what is with this person. What is this person doing to me right now? And no, brother, I hear you. And you know, you're going to make these cuts 2 or 3, 4 times. They come in waves. You know what I mean?
So, no, I agree.
Third wave. So you know, it is what it is, man. And, man, I appreciate you.
Yeah, sure. This is a little different spin on things today. Transparency from... which I don't think we do enough of. I think
that's true.
You know,
that's true.
But people, you know, need to know, and you know, appreciate you letting me divulge, and appreciate you sharing also about your experience with UFC and continuing to develop that, as well as the prowess with the riders. You know, the horse riders too, man.
And look, and these are both sectors I wouldn't have gotten into had other serendipitous doors had opened, and I either clumsily or strategically went and are going through those doors. And so you kind of get through, you get to hear and see the journey. That's why I'm pretty active with those journeys, with those two channels on my social media, just because you kind of see how it develops and kind of get a feel for it. And I think it's really cool to have that documentation along the way. And awesome. Therefore, I guess we'll call it a wrap. So folks, man, great show today. Very thoughtful show we had for you today, and hopefully you'll tune in to our future shows and listen to our past shows on Apple iTunes, as well as being archived on the LA Talk Radio website. We can all be reached at our respective social media sites, The Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn and The Concierge Coaches Show on Instagram and The Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
It's nimmergood.com. So I look forward to connecting with folks, you know, reach out with any of your inquiries or questions. And one more comment, because I know we talked about it on the pre-show. You know, we look forward to over the next several months, part of our pruning and cleaning will probably be even with this show and just how we can better serve our listeners out there. I know we've talked about, you know, on the fly sort of business coaching for some of our guests that come on that are, you know, business owners or leaders. So, you know, great things to come in the months ahead with the show here. We're looking forward to a great 2020.
Awesome, man. Well, same here. And we'll go on that journey as well. We'll do our own kind of pruning and moving forward and growth as a show, man. So we're going to. It'll be fun for us and fun for our listeners. So with that, we'll say have a good week, everybody. And we'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.